Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31. Matthew 10, 29 through 31. Are you not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore you are more value than many sparrows. At this time, Carol Lee will bring our message to us. Carol Lee?
Good morning and happy Sabbath. It's certainly a beautiful day today. Temperate weather, sunshine. The trees are green, the flowers are out, the birds are singing. It's a beautiful day to be alive and to worship God. We're still in lockdown mode, as you know. But thanks to modern technology, we can still worship together in our homes, our yards, wherever you've got Wi-Fi. We should be thankful to God for the ability to spread the good news globally through the miracle of modern media. Did you ever really think about this 20 years ago? That you could be sitting at home listening to your sermon from your local church? It's pretty amazing. I don't understand it, but it's pretty amazing. They say that necessity is the mother of invention, and these past months have certainly showed that to be true. Churches are not only able to reach the world by having public meetings, but they can reach the world literally all over the globe with modern media. Now, nothing can replace the feeling of being in church with the people you love, the people you care about, the people you're praying for. But I think we've all come to realize that we can spend time with God no matter where we are, wherever we happen to be. I'm sure many of you will agree that this downtime has given us time to think about life in general and what's really important. I'll admit, I do miss the trips to the mall to look at stuff. But I've come to realize that all that stuff really doesn't make me happy. Now, I especially miss hugs from my precious grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And I'm looking forward to meeting my newest great-granddaughter, who was born during this pandemic. I really miss lunches out with friends and family. But I've learned to appreciate more the little free blessings of a slowed-down existence. I never thought that I'd look forward to taking the trash to the dump as a grand adventure. But it's something I really look forward to these days, as it's an opportunity to get away. As I was working on this talk this week, I was sitting at Missy's house with my laptop at her dining room table, and she's got this big window right outside. And I was sitting there just watching her hummingbirds darting back and forth, back and forth, back and forth between feeders. Apparently, they have to check out and see if one has sweeter water than the other. Their carefree beauty was soothing and reminds me of God's promise to care for these precious little creatures. And even more so us, his human creatures. And every morning, first thing I do when I get up is go out in the yard and check on my plants and the bird feeders and try to figure out what kind of birds are out there. You know, I've even learned to appreciate the many, many, many squirrels and their amazing acrobatics as they endeavor to break into my squirrel-proof feeders. They even learned to take the lid off the trash can that holds the bird seed. I had to put a heavy plant on top of it to keep them out. Then I finally had to chain the roof closed on my largest birdhouse, since the little furry bandits kept removing the top and helping themselves. and they ate through the bungee cord I previously used to try to keep them out. You've got to give them credit. They're persistent. Now, you don't need to worry about my squirrels, because they're still getting into a lot of bird seed. But I think I've finally got them off the biggest bird feeder straight. You know, sometime looking out, the trees seem greener and the flowers more brightly colored this year. And despite the troubles around us and the uncertainty of the days ahead, I'm finding a peace in the beauty of the world around me. And I realize that God is nearby in all of the abundance of nature surrounding me. Who can really doubt a loving God when you're surrounded by so many evidences of his love? As most of you who know me realize, I love music, I love poetry, and I have had this hymn going through my brain all week. You know, it's one of those things that it goes round and round and round, and you can't stop thinking about it. It's called This Is My Father's World. I believe that God has put inspiration in these poets and musicians to put these words into music so that we can remember them more easily. I've found in my lifetime that I read a scripture text and I will think of a hymn that uses that as its basis. And it helps me to remember things better. I'm going to read it to you, and I want you to listen carefully to these words because I think they're so beautiful and inspiring. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King. Let the heavens ring. God reigns. Let the earth be glad. Now, I want to give you a little background of that song, or the poem. Malty Davenport Babcock was a minister living in Lockport, New York, a long time ago. And he would take a stroll every day along the Niagara Escarpment to savor the overlook's scenic view of upstate New York and around the Lake Ontario. When he left in the morning, he'd tell his wife he was going out to see his father's world. Soon after his death in 1901, she released a collection of poems entitled Thoughts for Everyday Living that contained the poem My Father's World. Sometime later, one of his friends, Franklin Shepherd, adapted an English folk song to the words of the poem, and that's how we ended up with This Is My Father's World. To me, that hymn is a complete sermon. I could quit right now. If we dwell on the wonders and beauty of our Father's world, when we appreciate the beauty and wonder evident in God's book of nature, how can we be discouraged and depressed? We're surrounded every day with evidences of God's love and care for us. Now, the Bible is full of references to the importance of appreciating God's gift of nature. Just think back to the story of Adam and Eve in the garden where God placed them. The creation story in Genesis is a beautiful picture of God's love for his human creation. He not only created a perfect environment for Adam and Eve to enjoy, He generously provided everything they needed to prosper and grow. Now, it was never his intention that they sit around and smell the flowers and lay on their backs and do nothing. He instructed them how to care for the land, how to care for the plants, how to care for the animals. But let's face it, it was a perfect world. There was no hardness to the toil. It was a pleasure. He created all of that for his, for their, and our enjoyment. Genesis 1:11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed in itself on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. It was perfect. Can you imagine something being absolutely perfect, without any flaw, without any blemish, no root rot, no bugs to destroy your plants? It was a perfect environment. Genesis 1:20, and God created great whales and every living creature which moves with the waters brought forth abundantly after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Genesis 1:24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature of after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. Now, I've noticed from Facebook and talking to friends, there's been a renewed interest in growing things. A lot of people who never bothered before are planting gardens. Just vegetables and fruit instead of just flowers and plants. Now, my daughter Tammy has been gardening ever since she got married. And she's been posting pictures of her and my two great-grandsons out in the dirt, whacking the weeds or whacking the dirt with shovels and hoes. They're adorable. They're really adorable. She's starting them out young. They're getting an idea of what it's like to garden. And while Missy doesn't have a big area to garden, she has got a healthy-looking group of veggies growing in planters on her deck. They look pretty good, too. I'm amazed at how well they've done. Now, I'll have to admit, I personally have never done much gardening. I grew up in the city, and the closest I ever came to growing anything was to plant a few marigolds and iris along the backyard. And I was simply thrilled when they bloomed. I couldn't believe how well they did. On the other hand, my husband's family was quite into growing vegetables, and I really loved filling up on fresh corn on the cob and tomatoes in the summer. It was so yummy, and you could have all you wanted. I wasn't as crazy about the okra and field peas, but different strokes for different folks. His parents seldom had to buy vegetables from the store and always had an abundance of food to eat. And I miss those days. Billy did not inherit that gardening gene. My husband's grandfather was quite a gardener. They lived in town, and he had a garden in the backyard that was perfect, as close to perfect as it could get on this earth. He was very proud of that garden. He was very, very possessive of that garden. Nobody could walk in that garden. Nobody could pick vegetables from that garden except for him. He was very, very possessive of his garden. And Bickett apparently got that gene, only he had more land, and he planted acres of field peas and corn and tomatoes and green beans and just did a lot of gardening with a tractor. And that all went very well until the deer arrived. And once the deer arrived, we tried just about everything that was recommended to keep them out of the food, but it didn't do a bit of good. My mother-in-law had the greenest thumb of anybody I've ever known. She could take a dead-looking stick, stick it in a jar full of sand, and before you know it, she had a healthy plant to transplant somewhere. My daughters and I have been the recipients of numerous bushes, trees, flowers, and all sorts of things that she rooted over the years. Now, the scripture gives reference to nature and its importance in our lives, and examples we can garner from studying are these texts. Proverbs 6:6. Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways. Nobody can accuse an ant of being lazy. I'm not crazy about ants, but you've got to admire their industry and unwillingness to give up their quest for food. They will overcome any obstacle to get to that crumb or grain of salt or sugar that you may put on your countertop, and it's real difficult to discourage them. Could there be a lesson for us in that? Are we as single-minded as the ant in our pursuit of gaining knowledge about Christ? Matthew 10, verses 29 to 31 was our scripture this morning. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father? Can you really think that a God in heaven, the creator of the whole universe, cares so much for that little bird that ran into your window and broke its neck, that he knows how many hairs are on your head, which with me is changing every day? He loves us so intimately that he knows everything about us. Fear you not, therefore, you are of more value than any sparrows. Birds don't plant or sow. They're rather insignificant creatures in the overall scheme of life, though I'm crazy about birds. But God uses them as an illustration about how much he cares about all of his creation, and especially us, his children. You are worth more than many sparrows reminds us of God's constant love for us. I suppose that one of my favorite Bible stories that I've often told to children in Sabbath school and to my kids and their little visitors is the story of the lost sheep. Now, in my version of the lost sheep, the little sheep has a name, and he is a stubborn little critter who goes running off and gets lost. And when I told the story, I would give the child I was speaking to, I give that sheep's name, like Courtney, the little sheep, ran, running off and hid. And I was amazed at how into the story these kids would get. I'm not a little kid anymore, granted, but the thought of being a lost creature, a helpless, lost creature, out in the cold and ice and wind, with wolves out there howling and having no defense, thinking of being picked up by the shepherd or Christ and held close to his chest and carried into a warm, warm sheep coat. It's such a comforting feeling. I can just almost feel it in my bones. Christ being the shepherd looking for me gives me a lot of hope and comfort. To realize that the creator of the whole universe, think about how immense our universe is, how many, many, many people are in it, how many little birds are in it, how many animals are in it. And God takes the time and the notice of each of these creatures and was willing to give his life for little insignificant me. It's absolutely mind-blowing. Psalms 95:7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Now, sheep are not noted for being the brightest creatures around. And aside from maybe a ram with a lot of horns, they're pretty defenseless. They don't have any way of protecting themselves. And like many people, they play follow the leader pretty well. I think that if the sheep decided to go toward the lion's den, they'd all trundle along quite happily until they got there. And a lot of people are like that. They don't know who they're following. And the shepherd was a very important part of society. Back then, the wealth of a man was pretty much determined by his number of his livestock. And so it was the shepherd's responsibility to do everything he could, short of getting eaten by the lion himself, to protect the sheep. In fact, he might have gotten eaten by the lion himself. He was there to keep an eye out for those sheep. Now, my grandson, my son-in-law, leases his land next to the house to someone who raises sheep. While they don't have a human shepherd, they have a llama. And that llama I would not want to tangle with. He is really protective of those poor, dumb sheep. He follows them everywhere. And if you so much as come up to the gate to look at them, he comes up and goes, scares you silly. But the shepherd was very important. And for Christ to represent himself as a shepherd looking after his helpless, dumb creatures. And let's face it, we are. Many people have very high IQs, but they're really not very bright when it comes to the knowledge that they need to know. So we, your people and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. Psalm 79:13. And he said to them, what man shall there be among you that have one sheep, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath day, will not lay hold on it and lift it out? God cares so much for his creatures. Matthew 18:12-15. How think you, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which has gone astray? He's got 100 sheep. What does one little stubborn sheep matter? But to God he does. If so be that he find it, truly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than of the 99 that went astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that not one of these little ones should perish. As I say, contemplate the magnitude of the world, the magnitude that God cares for so much that he knows each individually. Even the Old Testament talks about it. Ezekiel 34:12. For thus said the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day, and he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. It's amazing, the responsibility of the shepherd. I found something rather interesting when I went to Charlotte once to a Sabbath school council for Sabbath school teachers. They were talking about the story of the lost sheep. And the woman who was talking mentioned that the shepherd not only protected the sheep outside when they were out grazing, but at night when they were in the barn or wherever they kept them, he would lay across the door so that anything that might come to hurt the sheep would have to go by him first. He put his own life in peril to protect those animals. And that's a beautiful picture of Christ, isn't it? That he is at the door waiting to protect us from any danger. Matthew 23:37. Now this is one I kind of like too, because my kids have had chickens. In fact, Stephanie still has pet chickens that grow put out colored Easter eggs. Chickens. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that kill the prophets and stone them which are sent to you, how often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wing, and you would not. Have you ever been around chicks, mother hen and chicks? And the mother clucks and they go wild, getting under her wings to be protected. Think of yourself as that little chick. Christ is there. He puts out his arms and says, come to me for safety. And we should run to get next to him. I would have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wing, and you would not. Why not? What's holding people back from that comfort, that security? People are looking for security, especially today. And this is a beautiful picture of God's presence and his love for us. I found many other illustrations of God's love using animals in the illustrations. There's a whole half a page in the Concordance about sheep. But those verses are just a little bitty picture of how much God loves us. Now, these last past couple of months have helped us to realize that there's a lot to be gained by living a more simple, back to basics lifestyle, by making do with what we have and simplifying our lives somewhat, by decluttering and getting rid of stuff. We've certainly had more time to reflect on God's word and realize how dependent we are on his love and protection in these perilous times. Can you imagine how frightening it must be to people who don't believe in God to see the things that are happening in this world? We are so fortunate that we have the comfort of knowing that God is in control. And the world's searching for answers. In just a few weeks, we've gone from an industrialized and busy world to a world that we could not have imagined in our wildest year dreams 20 years ago, let alone 6 months ago. We've gone from a consumer-driven lifestyle, constantly rushing to spend and hurry, to being locked in our homes, afraid to talk to our neighbors for fear of getting germs. Do you think that perhaps God is issuing a wake-up call to help us focus on what's truly important in life, to preparing to meet Jesus when he soon returns? Do we realize how far we've wandered from the early church, which dedicated their entire beings, their lives, their wealth, their energies, to glorifying God and spreading his good news to the world? We've come a long way, and it hasn't been for the better. Are we taking this downtime to prepare ourselves to carry out Christ's warning message to a frightened and dying world? Do we comprehend that the turmoil and frustration in people's lives, and there's a whole lot of it, the hatred and violence evident in our cities, just think about the goings on of this past week in Minnesota, the fear for the future, the loneliness and hopelessness evident around us, are all signs of Christ's imminent return and Satan's increasing attacks against humanity. He's behind this. And we as Christians have the opportunity to spread hope, peace, and comfort to those in desperate need of a Savior. Now as never before, despite the godlessness and desperation around us, people are looking for something, and we can offer just what they need, a relationship with Jesus, and the peace that only He can provide, and a glorious future to look forward to. Isn't that wonderful? We're living in perilous times, there's no question. There's no denying that this earth is spinning out of control. But we have the assurance that God is still in charge, and He's promised to bring us safely home. Take time, now that we have downtime, to appreciate the world that we live in and the abundance and beauty surrounding us that God has provided, even in a time of turmoil. Remember the example of the birds who flutter in the warm air, chirping their songs of joy. They don't worry about the future because somehow, instinctively, they rely on God's protection. Do you? And of that ant that stubbornly marches across my countertop, despite my best efforts to get rid of him, he marches on to reach his goal. Are we that tenacious in trying to reach those who need a Savior? And what about that little lamb? Maybe Courtney, maybe David, maybe Annette, maybe Ethan. That little lamb knows the shepherd and he trusts him implicitly. He doesn't worry. He doesn't go around with a frown on his face. He trusts his shepherd. Breathe in the fragrance of the flowers. Listen to the song of the birds. That's how I started my day out, and it does put me in a better mood. Help them to remind you just how much God loves you. Don't let the news today frighten you. Use every opportunity to tell your friends and family that God is still in control. And he has prepared a glorious, unbelievably beautiful mansion and garden for us in our new home. Look at the gardens we have here on this earth. Pictures of the gardens, the beautiful gardens in Alaska and Canada. In California, the green, just unbelievably beautiful. Just imagine what the Garden of Eden will look like. What something that is totally perfect, no spot or blemish. You can pick flowers and they won't die. As my childhood person loved picking flowers, I found that after a few hours they didn't look so good. But in heaven, they will be beautiful forever. Just imagine how beautiful God's heavenly garden will be. And just imagine how gorgeous the songs that the birds sing. They're wonderful here on earth, but I just can't even imagine what bird song in heaven will be like. Relax in the knowledge that this is still my Father's world. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Isn't that a beautiful promise? To spend eternity with someone who loves us so much that he knows how many hairs are on our head. Let's bow our heads. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for the examples you give us in the Holy Scriptures of your undying love for us, the humanity. Please take us to your bosom as you would a lost sheep. Cover us with your wings as you would a little chick. And dear Lord, inspire us to share this wonderful, perfect good news with those around us who are hurting. Amen.